I'm a young Anthony Levine now. I'm a young Anthony Levine. I came out of college running 4.37. And you gonna lightly just throw it out there? Think I'm not gonna go get that? And you know Steve being Steve. You know, he doing his thing. He calling all the DBs out like, I'm gonna shoot today, I'm gonna shoot today. So I'm just like, I'm looking. I'm just like, and so I just said, man, you ain't gonna do that to me. He said, well, come out here then. So I go out there. That's when right there, I got the respect of Steve Smith.
Welcome into the lounge for another great episode, Garrett. We got Mr. Do-It-All on defense, Anthony Levine, the star of the show for Monday Night Football, comes up with a game-sealing interception at the end of the game, and of course, he comes in to join the lounge.
As we've said before, this joke never gets old. What's the first thing you want to do after getting
right,
the game-sealing interception?
Right, just stop your joke.
He wants to come into the lounge.
With that said, this is a perfect segue to an email that we got from Barth Poby. And Barth says, hi, Ryan and Garrett. You already know that I am a fan of your podcast, and I have 2 points to make. Number one is the most important. Number one, I know that you're having a hard time bringing some players and maybe coaches onto the lounge. Please let all of them know that you are, this is all caps, you are not a true Raven until you come on the lounge. All right,
wow.
You can do as many post-game interviews as you want. You can dance on NFL talk shows. I don't know, or Good Morning Football. I don't know who he's referencing.
Yeah, right.
That one.
Right.
But it doesn't count. You're not a true Raven until you come to the lounge. I couldn't agree more.
I agree with that. And today we're going to make another true Raven.
Yes. So thank you very much, Barth. As always, you can all email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. And with that in mind, let's jump right into our interview with Anthony Levine.
A true Raven.
A true Raven. We are happy to be joined by safety slash linebacker slash I do it all. I do everything, Anthony Levine. Thanks for coming in here. And I got to say, you know, this is our first time having this big a guest in here because we've never had a two-time Super Bowl champion on the podcast.
Never?
Never. You're the first.
Oh, hey, let's do it now. Let's do it.
How much do you brag to the guys in the locker room that you have 2 Super Bowl rings?
I don't even talk about it, honestly.
Really?
No.
Dude, in this building, you look for any edge you can get to brag about something. You have 2 Super Bowl rings, one with us, one with the Packers,
right.
And you don't even talk about it?
No, I don't. I don't even know. Sid talk about it a lot. Sis always talk about it, but I don't talk about it. I don't talk about it.
Is it because you're on the practice squad?
It's not. That's not why. I mean, I just didn't feel part of that team.
I got you.
I'm thankful. You know, I'm grateful for the opportunity that the Packers gave me. Mm-hmm. But I never felt a part of that team at all. It was just awkward. It's different out there, man. Like, I mean, it's a great organization. Right. You know, it's a great place to be at, and the fans is they're you know about the
top notch,
fans.
Right? Yeah.
You know, but like the locker room is like you have the locker room, and then the guys on the practice squad locker room is like in the back. Like, so they're not even in there with everybody else.
Right.
Like,
it's a different is it literally a different locker room?
Yeah, it's literally a different locker room. You're not even in there with everybody. So you're isolated.
Right.
So it's weird.
Not in a good way, like MLK Boulevard.
No.
MLK
Black. We out here in MLK. It's different here. Like, I love it here.
Yeah.
As soon as I came here, it was like, this way I'm supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah.
So. All right, I kind of bring it up. We got to talk about MLK Boulevard.
MLK
Boulevard is a section of the locker room that you are the secure. You're like the bouncer for MLK Boulevard.
No, I'm the bouncer of MLK?
Yes, I would say so.
I'm the oldest.
You're the veteran.
Right, there is generally rookies, younger guys are back there.
Yep.
And, anytime anybody, including us, including Garrett and I, try to do an interview back there, you gotta first I look over my shoulder and I look to see if Levine's around, right? And then if he's not around, I'm like, all right, let me sneak one in here, get 3 questions in here with Tim Williams. But then short shooting every damn time I can do it, Levine comes walking up.
We bracket on the block.
So tell me what, MLK Boulevard, tell me the roots of MLK Boulevard and how you came to be the enforcer of the rules.
Honestly, I don't know how I became. It's just like, serious to tell you, like MLK like was there way before mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I wanna say last year when that's when it kind of just became like a real thing.
Uh-huh. Well, then you got like Judon back there and Willie Henry.
Yeah,
And they kind of like took on
Mike Pierce. Peanut. Yes. Tavon.
That's a good crew.
And then I don't know. I was always with the rookies. The rookies always kind of came to me like for some reason. And I always be with the young guys. Uh-huh. I always kind of, you know, try to help the young guys out. And then one particular day, it was like Sis, Webb, Steve, they try to go get on the rookies. I'm like, nah, leave my young boys alone. And they're like, nah, you with us? I'm like, yeah, but they're my young boys, and y'all not about to get on my young boys like that. Leave my young boys alone. Uh-huh. So I think Judon was like, yeah, we the block. And that's when Steve and it was like, okay, so you with them? I'm like, yeah, well, I guess I'm with them.
Big size.
And ever since, you know, I'm okay.
Is it true or not true that there was something going on with like some veteran stuff got misplaced and it was blamed on somebody from the MLK region of the locker room?
I think Steve was basically on a full scale hunt.
He was on a manhunt.
Yeah, investigation was underway last year.
Yeah.
You don't know nothing about that?
I don't know nothing about that.
This man stays loyal to his side, to his young boys.
I don't know nothing about that.
What if Harbaugh were to come to you and say, we're thinking about moving you to a new part of the locker room? You know, we're thinking about putting you over here next to Sis or something like that. Would you say, you know what, I'm okay being right where I'm at?
Yeah, I don't want to move.
You're staying right there.
Yeah, I don't want to. My locker's where is that? As long as I'm here, that's how my locker to be. Nice. I don't want to move, no.
So I want to go back and talk a little bit about your upbringing, your history. You go to Tennessee State, right? So what led you to go to Tennessee State? What's the mascot? I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry.
Man.
Someone doesn't know. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Garrett.
The Tigers.
Someone doesn't do the research.
The great Tennessee State, man.
They were in the African American History Museum.
Yeah,
they were repping there.
We got legends.
They were repping.
We got legends.
Who it was like an Olympian, right?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Chandler Cheeseboro.
I knew that.
What's up? That's crazy. We got Richard Dent. We got Dominique Rogers Cromartie.
Really?
We got Anthony Levine Sr.
Hell, like, the
come
best
on,
of
man.
All.
That's what I'm saying. We got legends. We got legends that go to Tennessee State.
So what led you to Tennessee State, and then you come out of there, you go undrafted, and start kind of, you know, you start from the bottom. Now here you are at the top.
Two-time Super Bowl winner.
Thank you.
Was your Drake reference. Yeah,
thank you very much. So just talk a little bit about that, in that path.
So how I ended up at Tennessee State. I was being recruited by the University of North Carolina.
Okay.
And James Webster, he was the special teams coach, D-line coach at University of North Carolina. And he ended up getting a head job at Tennessee State. And I didn't qualify coming out of high school. And since I didn't qualify, I didn't know if I was gonna go to college. After that, but once Coach Webb getting the head coaching job at Tennessee State, I got the opportunity to go there. So, yeah, I don't know how they got me in, but they got me in.
So, I mean, what is the kind of do you feel sort of, you know, a sense of gratitude to him and that program for, you know, you was talking about how you didn't know if you were going to go to college or not, and then he gets you in, and then you end up playing there and having a really good career.
Yeah, man, Coach Webb, man, he's always been there for me. He still talked to me to this day. When I got my pick on Monday, you know, he calling me, texting me. So he's always been in my corner. But his protege, so to speak, was my defensive coordinator in high school. Mm. So he ended up going to Tennessee State as well.
Right.
So it was kind of like a no-brainer for me to go to Tennessee State. And yeah, it's been the best time of my life. Man, if I can go back to college, I'll go back.
Right, I think most people would say, like, I can go back tomorrow, right?
Yeah, that's the only thing that'll get him to leave his locker.
Yeah, they,
go back to college.
Do you feel like, though, that kind of route and going undrafted, did that put a chip on your shoulder that, all right, I'm going to have to work really hard. I'm going to have to do everything I can to prove myself to make it in this league.
No, I didn't. Because when you go to Tennessee State, I mean, it's a grind. Mm-hmm. It's already a grind. So going to a school like Tennessee State, it teaches you how to grind. So mm-hmm. you already have that in you, you know? Right. So it's small, and I tell people this all the time. Is you don't understand, but when I went to Tennessee State, I had one pair of cleats. Mm-hmm. That's it. That whole season, you got one pair of cleats. That was my practice cleats. Those are my game cleats.
Better not lose those cleats.
That's what I'm saying, right? But if you go to a school like Florida State, those guys got, you know, mm-hmm. probably bundles of cleats, like, everywhere. Like, right. Now you go in my locker now, I can't get rid of my cleats. Right. I got cleats everywhere. I'm like, man, I said, man, throw some of these cleats away. Do right. something with these
you
cleats.
You got cleats for every different cause. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but when you go into a school like Tennessee State, and that's what you have to do.
Right.
You got to make sure that you take care of them one pair of cleats. So, when I went undrafted and I went to Green Bay, amen. I remember Charles was telling me, like, hey, man, you need to get some more cleats. And I'm like, right. I can do that. He's like, yeah, you can get new cleats every day if you want. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
But that was already built in me. Like, I'm like, nah. Like, man, you out there, you hurting. Like, you gotta fight through that. You gotta go. So that's always coming from Tennessee State it teaches you, you know, how to get through. You know, things that a normal person wouldn't understand. Right.
So do you think that you still kind of carry that with you? I mean, you've been in the league now, what is this, eight years, right?
Yeah.
So you've been in the league for 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you've won a pair of Super Bowls, you've been on two really good franchises, you've signed a second contract here, you've been in the league. Do you still feel like that you carry that with you, or now you just got as many cleats as you need, you don't need to go worry about that anymore?
No, it's still with me. Once it's in you, it'll never leave because every year it's a new year. It's a new year, and you gotta go out and you gotta produce every time. So being around guys like Chuck Clark, you know, they keep me young. Being the guys around Peanut, Judon, those young guys, they keep me young. They keep me energized. And I'm just like, yeah, I gotta keep going. And mm-hmm. then it's so fun. It's so fun, man. And playing football, I mean, it's a kid's game,
right?
You know, but it's so much fun. And when you get to, especially this locker room, and you just have the camaraderie that we have, and the things that we do on a daily basis is crazy.
Right.
So, but it keeps me humble. It keeps me grounded, knowing where I come from. Because every day I got to go out and tell everybody. I went to the Tennessee State University. And they like, what? So I got to go out there and show them.
Kind of like we were.
Yeah. So I got to go out there and show them that we have ball players at Tennessee State University.
Right.
You know, I didn't, you know. Man, all right, so when I went to Green Bay, I was a tryout guy.
Okay.
So Mike McCarthy came in on the last day, and he was like, all right, guys, we only got room to sign three players. And but we thank everybody for coming out. We really appreciate it. So I'm like, man, damn, I know I didn't make it.
How many guys were there about?
It was a lot. It was a lot of us. I mean, we had a dude, he was like everything from UConn.
Right.
I was going with a guy from Florida State. I was going against guys all Big Ten, all SEC.
Right.
I'm in there with those guys, and right. I was you know, all OVC.
Right.
You know, and I'm just like, oh, there's no way they picking me over these guys. Like, and I'm walking to the bus, about to get on the bus, thinking anybody, you know, send me home. And that's when, you know, Mr. McKenzie, Reggie McKenzie, came get me. He was like, no, you stay. I'm like, what? So I turned around, and they taking me upstairs. So, you know, I signed my contract or whatever. So as I'm walking out the facility, I had to give them back my jersey and the cleats, because I took everything.
Because you thought it was
going to
be
like, check out these cleats. Yeah. These are my one pair. Hey,
he's like, this is going to be my one trip to the NFL. I'm getting the most out of this.
I took everything out of that locker. Everything that they gave us, I took everything. So I'm like, oh, I guess I got to get this back. Because I guess I'm going to be here now. So, yeah.
That's phenomenal.
So then you go, you practice as a rookie, as an undrafted rookie, and you're practicing against Aaron Rodgers. How did that look like for you in the beginning? Was he just lighting it up, or what was going down?
Aaron Rodgers. I'm going against A-Rod. Now I'm going to Tennessee State. He don't know who I am. So I want to say it was Jordy. Ran like a 7 route. It was in cover 2. And he just, lightly just toss it out there. Mm-hmm. I'm a young Anthony Levine. I came out of college running 4.37. You gonna lightly just throw it out there? Think I'm not gonna go get that?
You got some pride.
Yeah. So I went get it. And I run down the sideline. I like toss it to Mike McCarthy, and A-Rod is like. And then after that, man, he just kind of
he didn't lost anymore out there for you.
Yeah, the rest of the day he just kind of like went at me. He just went at me. That whole season, I'm on a scout team or whatever, and I'm like disguising. I'm doing all kinds of stuff trying to get A-Rod throw me picks. So I'm messing him up. But Joe Philbin, that used to be the head coach from Miami. He didn't like it. Like, he hated the way he's like, they don't do that. Stop disguising. Right. And that,
you're out there freelancing on the scout team. Right.
So he didn't like it. So he's like going off in practice. But when I go to the side, and A-Rod's like, nah, keep disguising. Like, because
that's great.
Keep disguising. So I'm like, all right, if he's telling me to keep disguising, I'm going to keep disguising. So I kept disguising, but Joe, he hated it. And so we get like in film session, and one day A-Rod just called me the master of disaster, because I always messed up like their plans, awesome. Right? So when we seen him, when we played him, 2 weeks ago, we walking off the field, he's like, master, and I'm turning around, he's like, what's up, Tony? And I told him I hate to be called Tony. I hate to be called Tony. I'm like, hey, I don't like being called Tony. He's like, well, that's our thing. I said, no, that's not our thing.
I don't like it. Disaster. That's what you call me.
But he refuses. He always called me Tony. So I'm just like, all right, hey, you can have it. But he calls me Master of Disaster because I used to always mess up.
That's fantastic.
Well, so it sounds like this is kind of your thing. So early in your career, you're a rookie and you mess with Aaron Rodgers. You Master of Disaster. Then you get here. And then you were here in 2012. You won a Super Bowl here. And then in 2014, you went toe-to-toe with Steve Smith. So Steve Smith signs here, and obviously everyone knows his story, and he's, future Hall of Famer, all this stuff. And then I believe it's one of your first days of practice. You're going up against him and kind of going at him in the same way that you did Aaron Rodgers 4 years earlier.
Tell us that story. When you first made a name for yourself here in practice.
Well, Steve liked to walk out, and Steve is a guy that he gonna let you know how he feels.
Oh, he does? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Steve gonna let you know how he feels when he comes out to practice. So one day he comes out to practice and he calls all the DBs out. He calling all the DBs out like, I'm gonna roll shoot today. Like, it's everybody. Like,
you're trash, whatever.
Yeah, he's doing that to everybody. So I'm just like, I'm looking, and Steve being Steve, he doing his thing. So I just said, man, you ain't gonna do that to me. He said, well, come out here then. So I go out there, and the first rep, I think I got him on the first rep. I ain't sure. I don't really remember the first rep. I got him on the first rep. Uh-huh. Maybe he got me on the first rep. But we went at it, and then I was like, he's like, let's go again.
Right.
So I went at him again. And I won one of those two reps.
Right.
I don't know if it was the first one or the second one.
Right.
And then the third rep, Steve's been Steve. He won a third rep. But that's when right there I got the respect of Steve Smith.
Right.
And ever since, me and his relationship, has become into a great friendship.
That's cool.
Right there. But
so what did he say after that third rep?
He spun the ball.
Oh wait, so he got the third. He won the tiebreaker rep.
Yeah. He spun the ball and I kicked it. But that's when I got the respect to Steve.
Right. I mean, he said that. I mean, he's talked about how in that moment and that battle that you guys had, he noticed that, I mean, not many guys, particularly somebody that's, it's not like you were the starting corner. He's saying like it was the ones, you know, you were somebody that's, you know, at that time, mostly a special teams guy. And you're like, all right, I'll go against you. You're a future Hall of Famer. Like, I'm up to the challenge. And I think that that probably caught his attention and a lot of guys' attention.
Yeah. And I think that's the year I started at corner.
Yep.
But, yeah, man, I think that's what my teammates, you know, that's why my teammates respect me. Because they know I'm going to go out there and I'm giving my all. And I'm going to do the best that I can. And when first met Steve, that's how I was. But Steve going to come out, he going to bring it. And he going to bring it. If you ain't going to bring it, don't come out there.
Right.
Because he going to bring it. And I was just like, man, all right, let's go. Like, you don't scare me.
Right.
And he was like, he looked at me like, man, come on here, I'm going to show you. You know, but we went at it. You know, he won. I won one. He won two.
Right.
But.
It's not bad against a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's not. But, you know, right there. Right. And then I think that's when Coach Harbaugh was like, I think he took notice of that.
Right.
Right there. And then one day, he just came to me and was like, you can play corner. I was like, nah, I never played corner before. He's like, can you? I was like, I mean, I'll go out there and I'll do it, coach. He's like, well, today, go play corner. So on scout team, I was the corner. And Bobby was talking. And then Tori was talking. Steve was talking. So that's when I was like, all right. Oh, Jacoby Jones. They was all out there. They all talking trash. And one day in practice, and we just going at it. I'm talking about we going at it. And Joe don't really talk that much trash.
Right.
But you can tell, like, you know, Joe got that. He got that to him.
You know when he's coming at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, so, yeah. So the whole practice, they coming at me, but I'm making plays. And I'm talking. And then I was just like, yeah, y'all welcome to V Island today. Y'all coming to V Island today. And that's when I started the whole island thing, and that went on for a while, and then my island kind of got, you know, invaded.
Yeah. a little crowded on the island, huh?
Yeah, I had some trash pass, and so, you know, I had a no trash pass sign that they took it down. And it got ugly one day, and Jacoby came out there running like a horse, and Tori and
it was trouble.
Yeah,
but,
it was trouble.
But I mean, you started what, three games?
Yeah, corner. Yeah. I started in New Orleans, Tennessee, and San Diego.
Yeah.
Right, and so I mean, like, you hadn't played it. You know, and it's not like, I mean, transitioning to a corner, some guys go from corner to safety, right? Yeah. You know, it's like when you're not fast enough to play corner anymore, some guys go and play safety at the near the end of their careers or whatever. Uh-huh. Like, not many guys go from safety to corner. That's pretty rare, and that's, I mean, it's pretty remarkable that you were able to do that.
Yeah, I have no idea when that happened. I mean, I mean when Coach Harbaugh see me go out there going to corner.
Right.
Now, I've always been a guy that can run. Mm-hmm. And I always said I can run. I got pretty good hips. But, yeah, and, to go from safety to corner, then I went to nickel that season.
Right.
And then I go to linebacker. I mean, I'm just waiting when they put me out of big baby spot.
Yeah, D-tack. when you're at, like, a party and, you know, somebody's, you know, you're like, yeah, well, I play for the Ravens, right? And they're like, well, what position do you play?
I say safety linebacker.
You say safety linebacker.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like it should have, like, four more slashes in it.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
I should just say slash.
Yeah, slash. You could do slash. That. You could be the slash of defense.
I'm just, yeah.
I like that.
Right?
That's not bad. Well,
what was
I got Cardell, party line.
What was Cardell Stewart's name?
I think that's
Cardell Stewart.
I think it was Slash, wasn't it?
Was it Slash? Cardell Stewart? Because he played quarterback.
Yes,
it was wide receiver, running back,
exactly.
Right?
Slash. Wikipedia. Wikipedia.
See, yeah, right?
See, what's Slash?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You're the Slash of defense.
Slash defense. Yeah, I mean, we could do that.
You know? I like that.
I mean, is that, it does seem like that's something that, like, you really take a lot of pride in, because you can play you joked about playing defensive line. That's probably the one that you couldn't do, but you can play literally just about every spot on the defense. And there are times, actually, when you're up at the line of scrimmage, when you're blitzing and coming in like that. But, I mean, is that sort of kind of become your
trademark?
Mantra, your trademark?
Yeah. Yeah, just being able to go out there and just, you know, play any position. I feel like it's a gift, you know. I'm just a guy that want to play ball. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you play linebacker, yes, sir. You know, I'm gonna go do whatever the team needs me to do. And I just have that grit. You know, when you come from Tennessee State, Tigers.
Yep.
You know.
I know.
You got the grit, you know. So, man, I don't know how I got to go in there when I play linebacker and got to go fill in them runs and fight them big linemen. But, you know, it's just something that you have to do, you know. And if you want to stay around this league, you better be able to do something.
Right.
You know, you can't just be a one-trick pony. If you don't want a trick pony, you're going to be in and out real fast.
Right.
You know,
right.
I've seen guys come in. I've seen guys go. So me coming from the practice squad, coming from being undrafted, to coming from to just being just a special teams guy, you see a lot. You see a lot. And you know, what the business, how the business go. And I don't want to be that guy. So I know. Okay, I got to be able to do this. I got to be able to,
right.
You know, and it just kind of happened, you know. So it's been great.
Yeah. You know, kind of along those lines, I mean, you're talking about kind of the journey, right? And
yeah.
And going through all these different stops and the practice squad and special teams and all that stuff. And I think your teammates, I get the sense that your teammates kind of look up to you, particularly the young guys, because if someone's a sixth or seventh round pick or an undrafted guy and they want to stay in the league, your path is the way to do it. And I felt like all of that kind of came out on Sunday or on Monday night when you got that interception. Like, it seemed like an emotional moment for you. And I don't know if I've ever seen a sideline as excited for a play from a teammate as it seemed like that sideline was.
Man, I love my teammates. My teammates love me. when I say I didn't feel a part of that Green Bay team, mm-hmm. when I came here, it's just been like it's really family. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody knows everybody, you know, and yeah. we all care about each other. We all want to see each other succeed, you know. And it's just, even if you notice, anytime somebody make a play on our team, I sprint out there. Like, we got our handshakes. Like, we trying to, like, it's just, man, it's fun. And my teammates, none of my teammates knew that that was my first career interception. They was like, that was your first career? I'm like, yeah. And they was like, man, no way. You get picks. And I was like, yeah, man, that's my first one, you know? And they couldn't believe it. Even when I walked in, Cass didn't believe it either. He was like, that was your first? I'm like, yeah, I get them a lot in preseason, but nah, that was my first one. So, but my teammate was so happy for me. And it was overwhelming. Like, my teammates was, I bombed. I'm going to go ahead and let y'all know. I bombed on a celebration.
What'd you do?
I didn't do nothing.
You didn't do anything?
No. And usually we don't play. See, that's why we shouldn't plan our celebration.
Exactly.
We never plan out our celebrations. It just kind of happened.
You have like five different handshakes.
Yeah, I know.
You couldn't have broken out one of those?
I messed it up.
So, you're too emotional.
I would. Like, when Sid started doing this thing,
yeah,
like,
right.
That wasn't rehearsed.
Nice.
And he just started doing. We all just started doing.
Right.
None of that was hurt. So we had this. We had this. The DBs. We had this celebration planned out. We had a plan out. So I'm telling everybody, wait. Let's do it. And Eric is like, Kofi, do it. And I'm just like, and I looked at him, and everybody's like, yeah, go. And everybody's excited. And they're looking at me. I'm just like, and Tony looking at me is like, Naveen, do it. Like, I'm just standing there. He's like, handshake. So I go do the handshake, and I messed it up. And I'm just like, so Judah, I was like, just shoot the ball. And I'm just like, all right. And everybody's like, man, you messed up. I'm like, yeah.
Then he clanks it off the rim.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely bombed it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I bombed it, man. It was bad. But nobody really seen it on TV.
Right.
Because after I got the interception, the camera goes straight to their head coach, and then it goes to Tom Savage. and then the light comes back. So they missed that whole
thing. Nice. Right. You're saved.
You got saved by the broadcast.
But I think the Ravens posted it, though. Yeah, they show a different angle.
No way,
and
really?
They see, yeah, they show
the bombing. I got to go back and find that.
Yeah, they show. I'm just like, oh, Lord. They show me bombing.
Because that's what Bill O'Brien, like, didn't he, like, break his clipboard? He,
yeah,
like,
he
threw his.
Door, yeah. Like, ah, yeah, it was fantastic. Bad. Yeah, I'm just like, man. I can't believe I bombed.
Well, so now you just got to get another one.
I know.
Second chances. Here we go.
It was bad. It was real bad.
Nice. Well, Anthony, thank you for joining us, man. Oh, perfect interview. Yeah. Thank you.
And when you get the next interception, you'll have something planned.
Oh, I'm not going to have nothing planned, but I'm going to do something.
All right. All right. We'll look forward to that. Thanks, man.
All right. Well, good stuff from Anthony. And I look forward to – I kind of wanted to ask, you know, what was the celebration supposed to be, but – I don't want to get that out of the bag.
Right.
You know, you don't want to spoil it.
You kind of have that saved now. You got to get another shot at it.
Exactly. Can you imagine? It'd be like, you know, you finally hit a jump shot in basketball for the first time in your entire life.
Yeah.
And you go to celebrate, and then you just.
Well, I've hit the jump shot, but it's generally speaking like a heave that banks in somehow that wasn't where I didn't call glass.
Yeah, you know. No,
definitely
yeah.
didn't call glass,
You're
but
the
it banks
king
in.
Of the, did you call it? Did you call it? Nah, you didn't call
well,
it.
Well, of course.
Is the bank open that way?
Yeah, I always call when that happens. Of course I call bank. Of course I call the bank.
Anyway, good stuff from Anthony Levine. Really funny guy. Interesting guy who's, you know, he's done it the hard way. And he's now in his eighth year, gotten a contract extension from the Ravens. He's going to be here for a little while.
Yeah,
so.
and he is somebody that the players in that locker room respect. And I think that they see his journey. They see the work that he's put in. And he's somebody that means a lot to this team. I mean, he may not get all the fanfare, you know, but inside that locker room, he's definitely somebody that's really respected, and I think we saw that on Monday.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about special teams prowess.
Yeah.
Special teams, he called himself the Terrell Suggs of special teams. That's what he wants to be. That's what he said to me in an earlier interview. So, good stuff from Anthony Levine, and we'll be back with you next week. Of course, with another true Raven,
yeah.
Whoever we get on here, if we can convince anybody.
We'll make it. And if we haven't come on yet, we'll make some more true Ravens.
Exactly. So, as always, reach out to us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. Leave us a rating, a review. Mom, give me a 5-star rating. My mom hasn't even rated
it. She hasn't rated it yet.
I talked to her at Thanksgiving. Mm. She hasn't listened to a single episode.
Come on, we need to get Mom and Mink on the horn.
Exactly. So, I'm going to have to reach out to them. But anyway, thank you for listening. We'll be back to you next week.